This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, I went with Ford. And had just a tremendous experience from the variety to the sales staff to the financing. Everything just fell into place exactly right because they're pros over at our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Great pre-owned inventory. Lots filled with them, and each one gets the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which eases your buying experience to go over each vehicle on the lot. At a terrific service department, whether it's inspections or routine or difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The Steelers may have changed quarterbacks, but we don't change with Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
As always, it is excellent to be here. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day.
Doing great. And Neil, let's start with this. They make the change, which is naturally going to be scrutinized anyway. And through the first quarter, there was going to be scrutiny. In the end, even though it's a one-game sample size, what did Russell Wilson add that Justin Fields, in your opinion, did not?
You know, I think oftentimes in football, you hear the adage about baseball. You know, at the MLB level, every team's going to win 60 games, except the White Sox, of course. Every team is going to lose 60 games. Mm-hmm. What you do with those remaining 40, 41 games is what separates the good from the bad. In a lot of ways, at a quarterback's cumulative stats, which I feel Justin Fields got the favor of through the first 6 weeks of the season, doesn't really tell the story. Now, Fields had a better statistical game in some instances than Wilson did this past week. But the big thing was there were four or five plays. Wilson made something happen, and it was a net positive gain to the team. Sometimes bigger, sometimes not really all that big of a deal, but it's more the absence of the losses that I feel like Fields would have taken in that instance. One of them was a bigger play down the field. I think he completed it to Freiermuth. He evaded a rush, which, let's be honest, I don't think it was the best night for pass rush for the Steelers' offensive line. But Wilson evaded the rush in a very slick way. And as he did that, though, he got rid of the ball short. He had Freiermuth where Freiermuth should have been in that situation, whereas I feel like Fields might have avoided it, but he would not have gotten rid of the ball that quickly. Didn't see it, whether he didn't react quick enough to it. Wilson is able to do that, and I think that's the reason why the Steelers favored Wilson in the first place this offseason, bringing him in first, kind of more or less declaring him the starter, versus Fields. I think Wilson just has that veteran savvy. He sees the field a little bit better. I point out, though, before everyone's talking Super Bowl with this team like they are now, we saw there are some deficient physical abilities in Wilson. He does not have the arm that he used to have. That it was ever phenomenal or anything, but it was good. It's lessened a little bit. Mm-hmm. Don't know how many of those moonshots George Pickens is going to come down with, but it was pretty remarkable. He came down with as many as he did. To say nothing of the first quarter, which was a complete dumpster fire for their offense, not in a completions way, but in an execution way, in an operations way. They were all off the page. Credit to Wilson for hanging into that. Credit to Arthur Smith for getting it fixed, because it obviously looked a lot better in the second half. I just feel overall Wilson made those extra maybe five plays that I don't think Fields would have made. And those were the difference in the game ultimately, because you look at the chain reaction of it. It's one play versus taking a sack or throwing the incompletion. More yards sets up a more desirable next down situation. They move the chains. They end up getting one more big play out of it. They end up scoring seven instead of three or zero. And I think that's really been what's held Fields back. It's a couple plays that he doesn't see to make or he isn't willing to try to make. And Wilson made all those. And to his credit, I think Wilson probably got away with a little bit. He took some gambles that all went the Steelers' way. You know, usually when that happens for your quarterback, you're on the winning side of the game. It might not happen this week. I'm not sure how much they want to rely on all of that, but the fact that Wilson kept the drive alive, kept plays alive, and turned them into positives, I really think was the difference. And a couple times a game, Fields wouldn't do that. I think it ultimately stalled their offense out and led them to that, you know, they're hovering around 20-point per game average. And with Wilson, I think they have more ability to get that extra touchdown a game, which they're going to need, and that's really been the difference. I mean, you look at it throughout the last couple of years, how much better would this team be with one more touchdown a game? How many more games would they have been able to win? How many more would not have had to have been so dramatic? Let their pass rushers tee off on the opposing quarterback on a final drive for once. Wilson brings that. I don't think Fields was quite there in his time, so clearly the right move. And really, it was not a sharp offensive game overall. They've got work to do, and they know that. You take the emotion out of it, you rewatch it, I think you'll see they missed opportunities, they screwed things up, and they're things that they need to get fixed in practice. But they're obvious types of things. I think there are things that they can improve from, and you can expect a little bit more competitive of an offense moving forward.
See, what I take away from it, you can see the touch throws and so forth, because Fields, for the most part, does throw the ball in a line. It's just the way he throws the ball. But what struck me was the Steelers scored the last five times they had the ball. The key to me is, Neil, four of the last five were touchdowns, not field goals.
Yeah, that really says it all, doesn't it? I mean, how many times have you been in a situation with a Steelers game? Second half, they've played really well all year, defensively in particular. This one was no different. They had the opportunity to put the opponent away early. They get stops on defense. They make plays on the ball, give it back to the offense. Now it's time to go for the throat. They actually did it. Kept doing it over and over, even to the point where the game is completely out of reach, and they're still trying to score touchdowns. I thought that was great. By the way, you're going to go for it on fourth down because you're not going to kick a field goal. So, you know, try to make something happen. That's great. They executed really well in the second half, and they were able to finish stuff. And you saw it. I mean, just you look at Najee Harris at the end of the game. Look at, you know, I'm not a body language guy, but just look how excited he is. They finally closed the game out in a way that they could have a couple times this season. Mm-hmm. The offense got it done the same way that the defense did. And as you and I have talked about many times, this was a game where legitimately T.J. Watt made one play. I mean,
right.
We'll get into it a different time. I'm sure Jets Radio is talking about this. The wisdom of setting your entire offensive game plan to stop one pass rusher, which right. They were pretty successful in doing, but they didn't do anything else. It limited them greatly. That's the impact that Watt can make without statistics, and that's the kind of thing you need to look at when assessing his overall value. But defensively, they were able to basically choke the Jets out while the offense finished off whatever was left of what's typically a very good defensive unit. So that this was an understandably big performance, not just win, for the Steelers.
No question. And Beanie Bishop had a couple of interceptions in the game. There are moments where I'm asking myself, I know Rodgers is limited right now. I mean, you know, it's the last thing he'll admit, because if I'm in his shoes, I don't admit it either. But I mentioned he's a 40-year-old coming back from an Achilles. That's not easy to do. My question is how well is he seeing the field, Neil?
I wonder if he's seeing it and doesn't trust his ability to go for it. Yeah. You know, in a way, I remember, is that against the Lions? I think the Lions. I forget what team it was, but Roethlisberger, in his final year, it was a Colts game. Philip Rivers looked exactly the same on the other side of the ball. It was obvious that Ben was done. His first half was like he can barely do anything. I have said, it's just my opinion, it was like Roethlisberger went into the locker room, shot in his elbow, shot in each knee, and came out, and all of a sudden he was firing bullets. Because he made a throw third quarter of that game as if he was saying, for everybody who thinks I'm done, I'm giving you this one. And it was a beauty. He put it on a line. It was about 30 yards down the field. It was a great throw, but he wasn't making those throws.
Right.
First thing you probably want to question is the game plan. Is he supposed to make those throws? Like, well, it's Ben Roethlisberger in his final season. I don't think he's, you know, doing a whole lot of what he doesn't want to do, you know. If Rodgers has the physical ability to, I don't know if he has the confidence in it, but I will say this about Beanie Bishop's the first interception. That was just a phenomenal play by Bishop, and you saw it. They had a great camera shot of it from basically Rodgers' vantage point. You couldn't really see Bishop, but you see the ball is directly on a line and it's hot. He fired it off good. He's going to hit the receiver square between the numbers. A great throw. Bishop just out of nowhere spears it. I thought Rodgers in this game played well. The other interception, whether Bishop got a paw on it up in the air, whether it distracted Quincy Williams, I don't know, but it bounced off his chest plate. The throw was right there, straight to Bishop, which, you know, the perfect testament of if you work hard, luck tends to favor you, and that's what happened on that. Another, you know, Rodgers is going to get deducted for that as far as having two interceptions overall, but he played well in this game. He is not making those big down-the-numbers throws that he used to, which is interesting because I know there's certainly one team that would love to have two receivers to the level of the ones that the Jets have.
Yeah.
They didn't utilize them, really. They couldn't run the ball particularly well, but and you would have thought putting it on Rodgers' shoulders could have helped them, you know, keep pace in the second half, but they couldn't do that either. And keep in mind, this is a game where James Pierre was on the field for a large chunk of it in the second half.
Right.
I don't think there was really a real excuse that the Jets can have schematically to have not done more. And Rodgers, you know, is kind of finding out how the other half lives. If you want to treat the media that way for that long, they're going to come back after you, and yeah, you are going to be held accountable after every game, which is what's happening now. The irony is he played well. He did a good job in this game. The Steelers' defense was just everywhere. In typical Steelers at home on prime time fashion, they play really well in those games. Typically, I know they lost the Dallas game earlier, but over the time in Mike Tomlin's career, they've typically put up games like we saw on Sunday. And in this case, the last 4, 5, 6 years, it tends to be a bit abnormal compared to where they are. So it's good for them to have another one. But as far as the Jets go, Rodgers can get the job done for what he needs to do. But if he's going to have to bomb the ball 40 yards down the field playing catch-up, I don't know they're going to do a whole lot better than 2-5 in the next 7 games.
All right, so that brings up the next part, and that is, when you watch the 49ers play the Chiefs, they got bombed by the goal line. We know Andy Reid always tries to do something different around the goal line. And they put Carson Wentz in the game along with Mahomes in an unusual formation. And he didn't score in the play. And remember, I've already pointed out the Steelers scored touchdowns on 4 of their last 5 drives. Are you interested to see if they do something with Justin Fields in combination with Russell Wilson because he can run the ball so well?
You know, I think logically that makes sense. I think a lot of people, myself included, expected to see that. There's a couple things with it, and this doesn't even rate as speculation. It's just there are quarterbacks, and they're not going to speak of it openly, publicly, but there are quarterbacks that if they're not going to start and they're not playing the quarterback position, they don't want to go on the field.
Right.
To a degree, it's fair. Justin Fields is a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not the starter of this team, barring injury. I'd argue that was always the case, but he got the opportunity to start. It's you know, refreshing to hear him humbly say maybe he wasn't good enough in the time that he was in there. I think he did okay. I wouldn't put it on him. It's just more the starter came back from injury. He got his job back. Fields, though, might say, I'm not going to risk my future earning power carrying the ball in obvious run situations if I'm not the leader of the team, if I'm not the guy that you want to be in there on all 65 snaps. I'm not going to be a gimmick guy. I'm not going to set myself up with a bunch of running film where other teams that potentially might want to sign me look at me only as that.
Right.
Just my opinion. I'm not saying that's happening. I do think there's some, you know, some twisted logic behind that. I don't know if that's a good idea, but I could see why he might say that. That said, I don't think Mike Tomlin is known as the most innovative when it comes to specialty packages, things of as he would say, things of that nature. I do think he would really like to see, because he's been begging for this for 7 years now, is a goal line offense that can actually run the ball in the end zone. Right. And I think he gave that a shot. I think that worked. I think you saw, you know, Russ take it in, which brings me to the other point of this. Maybe it's more of a Russ thing. Maybe Russ is saying, I'm going to show you I can do this. You don't need to bring me off the field for this. I want to be there. Plus, I can throw a pass.
Right.
Show that I can run in this situation as well. I'm much more dangerous. If you are limiting yourself to bring in Fields probably just to run the ball, that doesn't make us better. If you have Fields throw the ball out of that, then why am I even here? So I think there's some internal politics that go with that. I will say this, though, to your point. They scored. Whether that's Russ's job or fault or whatever, they put the ball in the end zone. And, you know, therefore it worked. I'm not a purely results-based guy. There's a process that's involved. It worked better against an abnormally better opponent than what they've seen to this point. So there's something to it, and I think if it works, then go with it. But situationally, if they have the type of matchup that they want up front, I would hope that everybody would be on board and saying, we would do a better job here if we had Fields under center rather than Wilson. I don't think that's the end of the world.
Yeah.
It's not an end of the world type of conclusion to reach in this situation.
The Steelers get back-to-back bye weeks with the Giants and then nobody. Oh, what are you laughing at?
Poor Giants.
But do you feel like the schedule's fallen in their favor right now to kind of so they can craft a record and get some confidence to go with it?
I think it fell in a way that, yeah, they can do that. And with that, it's good that they're 5-2. You might argue, you know, maybe should be 6-1 even. It's good right now to play a team like the Giants. It wouldn't surprise me if the Steelers blew them out and Brian Daboll got fired after the game. You know, it seems to be going that way right now for the Giants. They just benched their quarterback, who apparently is going to get the start again, which is, you know, always a very high sign of confidence. I'm sure everyone's behind whatever decision you make after you bench the quarterback, as Mike Tomlin knows. It's a good time to play them and go into a bye, but what goes up, that's the reality of it. If you have a real nice set of your first eight games, your back nine games are going to be real tough. You get, I'm choosing my words carefully here, but I think Cleveland improved this week. I'll leave it at that. You're going to get them without the detriment that they had on the field before. That's a better football team. Baltimore is playing phenomenal football right now. Cincinnati's a much better team than what their record is. You got to play those teams twice each. That's tough. And you got to get at least three of them if you want to win that division. So it's going to get a lot better, but I think it falls well for the Steelers in the sense that, one, you obviously got to play everybody. It's on your schedule. Two, the better teams early, the better teams later, I think, is better for you in the sense that injuries are going to come to everybody. You know, figuring out who you are at your best, it's basically you're counting on your coaching staff to make the adjustments needed week in and week out to become a better team. And the Steelers, typically, for as crazy as their seasons have been, They've typically played pretty good football later in the year overall. Yeah. So you get that benefit against better teams, obviously, but with enough of a head start, I think you know they can weather a few tough losses against good teams down the stretch and still be in a good spot because of them having the success that they've had early on in the season against teams that, well, you know, it may not be all that good.
You are the best, sir. Thank you so much. Always appreciate every second we're together.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong, half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Nummels Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
October is Truck Month at Sunbury Motors with over 100 new trucks to choose from.
Sun, ride with the sun, Sunbury Motors.
SMC has 12 of the hard-to-find Ford Maverick trucks priced as low as $27,890, and they get up to 42 miles per gallon. Pick from over 40 of the number one selling truck in the world, the Ford F-150. And Sunbury Motors has them slashed up to $12,416. And 4x4 Super Cruise are priced from just $46,874. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century. Hurry, sale ends Halloween Eve, October 31st.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.